La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, 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 font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.
Hello rugby friends and welcome to a new edition of the French Rugby Connection podcast with moi, Véronique Lindieu, your host, and my co-host,
Bill Hooper.
Bill, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
It's Good Friday today, and looking at the calendar, I can see that there are only 7 weekends left in the top 14.
Yeah, it's beginning to hot up now, isn't it? At the top and bottom of the table. Everybody's jostling to get into that top 6 for the playoff places and trying to keep out of the bottom 2.
It's very, very tight in the middle, but looking at the ranking, you know, it looks very promising for Stade Français and Toulouse. Toulouse will have Tamac back from his injuries this weekend playing against Pau. So it's going to be very, very good to see him playing with Monsieur Dupont as well.
Yes, it'd be good to see both Dupont and Tamac back in harness together for Toulouse, and I'm sure that's going to be a big boost for Toulouse in the run-in now for the final phase of the championship. So, yes, good news indeed. So, yeah, as you said, this weekend they got an interesting game at home against Pau, who were in that sort of mid-table battle for the places in the top 6.
Exactly, because if you look at the ranking, so we did say Stade Français at the top, Toulouse. Personally, Bill, I think that Toulouse, with his ministre de l'Intérieur, Antoine Dupont, back playing with Tamac, I think Toulouse will probably do very, very well in the last few weekends left in the top 14, personally. But maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
Well, yes, you have to think that they're going to be very, very strong to finish in the top 2 places, which means if they finish in the top 2 places, they avoid the first round of the playoffs. And so, yeah, it's very difficult to bet against Toulouse, isn't it, in this position? They're always there or thereabouts every season, so I think that they're always everybody's favourites.
Exactly. And right now, as it stands, Bordeaux is behind Toulouse with 49 points, followed by Racing 92 with 48, Toulon 46, La Rochelle 46, and Castres 45. And behind as well, Pau 45, then Bayonne 43, Clermont 42, Perpignan 30, Lyon 38, Montpellier 27, and Oyonnax 26. So I think Oyonnax is a dead duck. They will be relegated. I can't see any miracle happening.
I can't either. So, but it's going to be interesting to see who replaces Oyonnax in the top 14 next season, because there's a big battle in the Pro Day 2 as well, with Van Bezier and Aix en Provence all battling to get that automatic promotion place and avoid the barrage, with the team finishing 13th in the top.
Do you know which team I would love to be part of the top 14 next year? It's of course Van, which is extremely highly deserving team in which Nolan used to play. Next, in September, it's been announced the top 14 will start on the 7th of September. So, yes.
It'll be good to see Van make it through, but it'd also be nice to see Béziers back at the top level as well, because they're historically a great club in France. But whoever wins at the Pro, it's going to be always a battle to maintain, to stay up in that inaugural season when you go up for promotion. It's always a big battle to try and stay in that top 14. But we'll see. We'll see how it unfolds next season.
And you are absolutely right, Bill, because obviously Béziers has a strong history in rugby. Van is like a newcomer. We don't really play rugby in Brittany, but it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mid-table, Bordeaux, Racing 92, Toulon, La Rochelle, Castres. That's very, very interesting. Anything could happen there.
It could really. I mean, I think you can go down as far as Clermont, really. I suppose they're on 42 points. Whoever manages to string together a good set of results and easily get themselves into that top six playoff places. So we're just going to have to see. It's a team that can put together a good string of results in the last few matches who are going to come through.
And at the bottom of the league, you probably heard Montpellier got absolutely trashed by Toulon last week, and they lost 57-4, something like that. So
result. Yes, a heavy defeat at Toulon, and at the same time, Perpignan were winning at Oyonnax 15-14. So that really nailed Oyonnax even firmer to the bottom of the table than they were. So very difficult. And the team that's just above them is Lyon. They lost to Stade Francais 22-13. So Lyon are looking over their shoulders and nervously. Mm-hmm. They need to put together a good string of results to sort of pull themselves away from the bottom of the table.
But it's going to be a tough gig for them this weekend because they are playing against Bordeaux, which is currently ranked third in the top 14. So they've got a big, big strategy games in their hands.
Yeah, it's a big weekend for Lyon. They, as you say, they really need to get a result against Bordeaux-Bègles. But equally, Bordeaux-Bègles, they need a result as well to keep the pressure on the top two. So it's going to be a fascinating encounter in Lyon.
Absolutely. And this weekend, we got Montpellier will be playing against Stade Francais as well. So number 13 against number 1. I would love Montpellier to ramp up and bag the win, but I'm not so sure.
It's going to be very hard, isn't it, against Stade Francais? Because obviously Stade Francais, the tails are up there. They're having a good season and they're full of confidence. So it's going to be a tough one, but you never know. On their own pitch, you know, perhaps Montpellier could pull something out of the bag.
Yes. Racing 92 will entertain Clermont as well. So Racing 92 currently sitting number 4 in the top 14 and Clermont number 10, unheard of. Really, really bad ranking.
Yeah. Really, they... Although they had a win last weekend against Pau, it was 31-28, so, and that was at home. So, you know, Pau still got something out of that game. But, yeah, Clermont's defence is obviously a cause for concern. And I think it's going to be a very, very difficult for them to get anything out of Racing, who are going well at the moment.
So, Perpignan against Castres. Interesting game because Perpignan, yeah, lagging number 11. Castres is number 7. So
yeah, again, Perpignan, they need the points. They need to keep pulling away from the bottom two. So at Aimé Giral, I think Perpignan probably favours to overturn Castres. Going to be interesting, but they need the win. But obviously, Castres also, they need the points to keep challenge up.
We talked about Toulouse. I will play against Pau with the return of Tamac and Dupont playing together. And on Sunday evening, Bayonne against Toulon. So Bayonne is a team that's getting better and better. They're currently sitting number 8.
You know, Bayonne are my sort of dark horses for a playoff place. I've just got a feeling they might sneak in. They seem to be coming good at the right time, and they've got such a wonderful public behind them. They are a formidable team. I think Bayonne will probably beat Toulon on Sunday.
Oh, interesting. Six Nations is done under state, and In the meantime, Six Nations for Women started last weekend with a win for France.
Against Ireland in Le Mans, 38-17. Perhaps France will be a little bit disappointed. They let in a couple of tries there, which were something they obviously wouldn't have wanted to do. They seem to be cruising quite well. But no, it was a good start for France. And of course, this weekend, they travel to Edinburgh to play Scotland tomorrow at the Hive Stadium. Scotland, who managed to beat Wales in Cardiff last week by 2 points. So I think France will be hoping to build on the result against Ireland. We just have to see how France women get on up in the, I would say, a very chilly Edinburgh.
Yes, I have to say, no, with the Six Nations and women rugby, France hasn't won against England, I think, for the last 6 times. They got extremely unlucky many, many times. I'm not saying that because I'm French, but they could have won. So I'm hoping that this time round for the Six Nations, we'll see a win from France. When is France playing against England?
It's the last game of the championship, so it's the final weekend. And that game is being played in Bordeaux. So if it works out, it'll be a championship decider, with ideally both sides having won their 4 previous matches. So we will see. But England beat Italy quite easily last week, 48-0. When you think they played most of that match with 14 women, having lost a player to a red card early.
Yeah, not great, you know, it's a case of women playing against girls. But don't forget, you know, the English team is fully professional, whereas, you know, the Italian are amateurs as well. So we need to take that into account.
Absolutely, yeah. There is a big gulf within the women's Six Nations.
And even for the French, I think they are not fully professional. They are 75% professional, something like that. So
there is the gap there between even England and France. So.
Exactly. I'm not sure where it's going to be shown. Sometimes it's showed on BBC iPlayer. Not sure whether it will be shown in mainstream TV. I'll have to double check. But if you can watch it, it's always entertaining to watch women rugby. Better them than me, that's for sure. We've had a few news this week.
Well, yes. One of the big news is referee Mathieu Reynal has announced his retirement at the end of the season. It's always interesting with a referee because they're like Marmite, aren't they? You either love them or you dislike them. But I always thought Mathieu Reynal was a good referee. I always find him very, very fair and empathetic with players. So, yeah, I think it'd be sad to see him step down, but I'm sure he'll find another role within the Federation to carry on helping and training the referees of the future. So, chapeau, Mathieu.
Indeed. And, you know, you were spot on regarding Mathieu Reynal. I think he had a fine career. Is well respected, but you know, it's like an end of an era because you had obviously Jérôme Garcès, who left, I think, 2 years ago to join the French team. He reconverted as part of the coaching staff, which is great. You had Barnes, who retired as well for many, many reasons. One of them was very much, you know, the abuse that referee, you know, have that he received, which was really bad, you know, not good at all when the abuse is geared towards his family. And there's no need for that. It's not, especially not in rugby, but in any sports anyway. And yeah, so a new era for some younger referee. I'm sure that we will be hearing very soon. I'm looking forward to see the new crop of referees.
It'll be interesting. And I'm sure the new crop of French referees will be as equally unpopular with the English as the last.
Oh, yes. All at the The referee is as good as your team is performing, to be perfectly honest. And we've seen that during absolutely. The Six Nations as well. I had the pleasure, you know, to have a few years ago on my podcast, Luke Pierce, and he was an extremely courteous and very, very nice guy, you know, to chat with. And I remember him saying that, you know, the referee, let's not forget, they are passionate about rugby. They love the game of rugby. Usually before the game, they meet the players and also after. So there is a camaraderie. Well, obviously they have to remain professional, but there is a, there are some connections that are being made, you know, on and off the pitch. So that's good to know. Yes, and it's good to hear as well that English referee now have started speaking French. So I remember hearing Luc Pierce, I think, during the Six Nations, speaking a few words in French. So that's always positive when English referee try to speak the lingua.
It is. Sometimes I question his pronunciations and I think, are they really understanding what he's saying? I wonder. Because sometimes the track is lost. In the pronunciation, but you know, fair play to Luke and other referees. They're having a go, and you know, we're saying that they're speaking French. Well, maybe they're going to have to start speaking Italian as well.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I don't think, but I think the younger players, you know, and have a good grasp of English. Maybe not so for Charles, Le Grand Charles, Charles Olivon. I think his English is a bit rusty. So whenever he was managing the French team, when he had to try to decipher the Welsh accent from Nigel Owen, it must have been a tough one. The majority of French players now speak good English. It's always good for a referee to try to speak a little bit of lingo.
Try to be a little bit empathy with the players and trying to explain what they're doing. And yeah, I think, you know, as we said before, Le Grand Charles, he just stand there and shrug his shoulders and just stare at the referee menacingly.
But you know, to be honest with you, talking about the language barrier, I remember first time I went to a Six Nations press conference in London. Jacques Brunel needed to have an interpreter to translate the questions. And now you got Fabien Gatier, but Fabien Gatier is a dark horse. He says he can't speak English, but of course he can. Actually, during the World Cup, I think he left his friend. What was his name? Ibanez. Ibanez, who speaks perfect English because he played for Wasp.
Yeah.
To speak with the English press. But to be honest with you, Fabien Gatier is so poetic and so philosophical that sometimes, I think if he had to translate everything in English, that would be a bit difficult, you know. So he's got his own style.
That's a great thing. The meanings of what they're trying to convey is quite often lost in translation.
Yeah.
And then by the time, when you translate it has no bearing to what that person's trying to convey. So
yeah. I'm going to digress slightly, but it's a bit like Eric Cantona when he referred to his fishing trailer when he resigned.
No.
And also he was asked once, would you admire? And he said, Rimbaud, Arthur Rimbaud, a writer from the 18th century. And journalists understood Rimbaud.
Yeah.
So it was a completely different thing. So talking about the English-French connection. Mm. Owen Farrell will be paid. Do you know how much to play for Racing 92 for the year? Come on, give me a figure.
I would say it's euros and it's six figures.
Yeah, well, 800,000 euros, which is about 685,000 pounds a year. Yeah, that's okay. That's nice. That's nice gig to have. Nice. Manu Twilaji, on the other hand, is not as well paid because he will play at Bayonne, but he's got nice scenery in Bayonne. 360,000 euros.
I'm not sure what Brieve are going to pay Courtney Laws, but that'd be interesting as well.
Courtney Laws. Brieve is such a beautiful place in the middle of France. Very provincial with a very strong rugby culture. I think Cornelius will have a blast there. So he's well known in recruiting English players.
I picked up today as well that Lewis Ludlam and Kyle Finkler are set to sign for Toulon.
Correct, spot on, hot of the press.
Yeah, both got 3-year contracts, so that's going to be an interesting one as well.
So massive exodus from English players towards France. So Bill, top 14 is moving along nicely with loads of interesting games this weekend. As we said earlier, it's very tight between number 3 and number 7. So yes, we might be up for a surprise.
Well, yeah, I think there will be a few surprises. As I said, highlighted by your tip to make the playoffs, and I either stand or fall on that prediction, but we shall see. Well, it's going to be another exciting weekend of top 14 rugby, and we'll see how they stand come next week.
And soon, the European Champions Cup will start.
Far away now, so some big games to look forward to there, which I'm sure we'll do that a little bit nearer the time.
Indeed. Allez, bon weekend. Au revoir.
À bientôt.
La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, glou, glou font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.